Blog Talk Radio.
Seems to be another riot in American history, recent American history. We've had the purse riots in Chicago in Watts, and Governor Pat Brown, Edmund Pat Brown, the late father of the current Jerry Brown, was out of the state of California at the time. Glenn Anderson was the lieutenant governor, and he didn't act right away to send in the National Guard, and the Watts riots to this day is among the worst in American history. They still have never recovered down there in Los Angeles in parts of Watts. And, of course, American politicians, the most current, Jay Nixon of Missouri, and I have not learned the lesson from what happened in Watts and how Richard Daley handled the riots after the assassination of Martin Luther King. And this is what Richard Daley said on riots and how he handled it and how the Chicago police handled it in March, April of 1968.
In the heat of emotion and riot, some policemen may have overacted. But to judge the entire police department by the alleged action of a few would be just as unfair as to judge our entire younger generation by the action of this mob. I would like to say here and now that this administration, our administration, and the people of Chicago have never and will condone brutality at any time, but they will never permit a lawless, violent group of terrorists to menace the lives of millions of people.
Now, I was in Chicago in that period, and I was in between college classes, and I was preparing to cover the August 1968 Democratic Convention shooting a 16mm film, Guns and Gas versus Chance and Flowers. Unfortunately, those film reels were destroyed in processing, and there's a few copies circulating, but I don't know where they're at. Anyway, what had happened was the Chicago police were not prepared for they apparently didn't learn anything or just ignored what had happened in Watts in 1965. And, of course, what happened was the blacks and others ran wild, And what happened was Mayor Daley was always proud of his police force. After all, he did bring in Orlando W. Wilson, who was formerly professor of criminology, interestingly, at the University of California at Berkeley, and he had been a colonel. Orlando W. Wilson had been a colonel in the U.S. Army MPs at Nuremberg after World War II, and then he went to Berkeley and taught criminology, and Wilson actually was part of the Scandinavian ethnicity, as was Earl G. Warren. Very interesting background of these people. Anyway, after the first Chicago police scandal in 1960, the Somerdale scandal, which is a whole story in and of itself, Richard Daley decided his political career was very much in danger. So he set up a committee to search for a new police chief, because the current police chief at that time, Timothy J. O'Connor, couldn't handle the situation, and he was an albatross and liability to Richard Daley. So they set up a committee with Orlando W. Wilson as a chairperson, and they couldn't find anybody across the country, and they selected Wilson. Wilson, this was after the riots there. Anyway, what happened was when August came around, Daley decided he's not going to have any embarrassments. Because they failed to handle the Martin Luther King riots. So what happened was the Chicago police responded in a brutal fashion. They may have broken, they bruised a lot of people. I don't recall them breaking any bones or killing anybody, but the media jumped on Daley and called it a police riot. Now, also, what had happened in Illinois, another Midwestern state, which George Romney, who was the father of Mitt Romney, George Romney was the governor of Michigan, and they had a riot in Benton Harbor, which is across the Lake Michigan from Chicago, and they learned some lessons from that. And then they had the Detroit riots, which was also one of the worst riots in American history, and Romney asked President Lyndon Johnson to send in the National Guard. I understand that also Detroit has never fully recovered from their riots back there in the 60s. Now we have the current riot, which is going on in Ferguson, Missouri, with Governor J. Nixon, excuse me, who is not related, we believe, is not related to the late President Nixon. Anyway, Richard Nixon. Anyway, what has happened is apparently Jay Nixon was mentioned as a candidate for the possible 2016 Republican nomination for vice president, but that appears to have been that's the end of that, because he hasn't handled the situation as well as he could have and should have. So this is you should have learned. All these politicians and these political animals should have learned from these other riots around the country. Now, among the other things that have just come up, this 18-year-old kid who's unfortunately dead is now accused of shoplifting a $49 box of cigars, and apparently there's some videotape, supposedly, on this. And of course, what's happened is these lawyers who are ambulance chasers or hearse chasers have involved themselves in the case without getting all the facts. This is going to be very interesting how this is handled. And what Jay Nixon should have done was declare a curfew. And these outsiders would have a difficult time stirring up trouble in Ferguson, Missouri, or any place else. And this would have calmed the situation until the full investigation had been completed. And we got to see whether or not, nobody has discussed whether or not there was video in that police car when Michael Brown was arrested, and supposedly there was a fight, a physical confrontation, and that put a white policeman in the hospital. This is going to be very interesting. So this shows you what happens when you get greedy lawyers out there and other people, and the corpse is hardly cold when these people are already out there preparing lawsuits and they don't have all the facts, and it's stirring up the country. Now, it's interesting that in our new feature, the rest of the story, why both the corporate alternative media have ignored these other riots, the 1965 Watts riots in Los Angeles, and that was much worse. The riots in Detroit, Michigan, which were terrible, and that city also has not fully recovered, and also the Chicago riots, and there have been other riots across the country in Cincinnati, Benton Harbor, I think in New Jersey also, Newark also. So, you know, this is an example of why the media, the print and the corporate broadcast media, you know, is losing credibility because these people don't study history or they ignore history. And of course, it's people like myself and others who, you know, go back to history and bring this up because, you know, history repeats itself and the second time around is also maybe worse, and we're experiencing that right now. Among the deaths today is the airplane crash in Alaska, which the passenger was Will Rogers, the great Will Rogers. I wonder what he would have said. And I think we should play a couple of his clips. Things that he has said, because it's very relevant, the bankers who were out of control, and also unemployment. So here's the first one on the bankers.
Loan shark and interest hound. I have addressed every form of organized graft in the United States, excepting Congress. So it's naturally a pleasure to me to appear before the biggest. You are without a doubt the most disgustingly rich audience I ever talked to, with the possible exception of the bootleggers union, local number one, combined with the enforcement officers. Now I understand you hold this convention every year to announce what the annual GIP will be. I have often wondered where the depositors hold that convention. I had an account in the bank once, and the banker, he asked me to withdraw it. Said I used up more red ink than the account was worth. I see where your wife come with you. You notice I say come, not were brought. I see where your convention was opened by a prayer. You had to send outside your ranks to get somebody that knew how to pray. You should have had one creditor there. He'd have shown you how to pray. I noticed in the prayer the clergyman announced to the Almighty that the bankers were here. Well, it wasn't exactly an announcement. It was more in the nature of a warning. He didn't tell the devil, as he figured to. He knew where you all were all the time anyhow. I see by your speeches that you are very optimistic of the business conditions of the coming year. Boy, I don't blame you. If I had your dough, I'd be optimistic too. Will you please tell me what you all do with the vice president the bank has? I guess that's to get anybody more discouraged before you can see the main guy. Well, the United States is the biggest business institution in the world. They've only got one vice president. Nobody's ever found anything for him to do. I've met most of you as I come out of the stage door of the Follies every night. I want to tell you that any of you that are capitalized at under $1 million need to hang around there. Our girls may not know their Latin and Greek, but they certainly know their Dun and Bradstreet. You have a wonderful organization. I understand you have 10,000 here, and with what you have in the various federal prisons, brings your membership up to around 30,000. So goodbye, paupers. You're the finest bunch of Shylocks that ever foreclosed a mortgage on a widow's home.
That was one on Will Rogers, and this is very relevant. Will Rogers talks about unemployment, which is part of the problem in Ferguson, Missouri, and elsewhere across the country, and it's not only among blacks, and we don't use black African-American because not all blacks are from Africa. It's also among Latinos, Asian groups, and poor whites. Here's Will Rogers on unemployment.
We read in the papers every day, and they get us all excited over the one or a dozen different problems that's supposed to be before this country. There's not really but one problem before the whole country at this time. It's not the balancing of Mr. Mellon's budget. That's his worry. That ain't ours. And it's not the League of Nations that we read so much about. Or it's not the silver question. The only problem that confronts this country today is that at least 7 million people are out of work. That's our only problem. There is no other one before us at all. It's to see that every man that wants to, able to work, is allowed to find a place to go to work, and also to arrange some way of getting a more equal distribution of the wealth in country. Now, it's prohibition. We hear a lot about that. Well, that's nothing to compare to your neighbor's children that are hungry. It's food. It ain't drink that we're worried about today. Here a few years ago, we were so afraid that the poor people were liable to take a drink that now we've fixed so they can't even get something to eat. So, here we are in a country with more wheat and more corn and more money in the bank and more cotton, more everything in the world. There's not a product that you can name that we haven't got more of it than any country ever had in the face of the earth. And yet we've got people starving. We'll hold the distinction of being the only nation in the history of the world that ever went to the poorhouse in an automobile. The potter's field are lined with granaries full of grain. Now, if there ain't something cockeyed in an arrangement like that, then this microphone here in front of me is, well, it's a cuspidor, that's all. Now, I think that perhaps they'll arrange it. I think some our big men will perhaps fix some way of fixing a different distribution of things. If they don't, they're certainly not big men and won't be with us long. That's one thing.
Now, among the Earth Days today, the great Napoleon was born in 1769. He is actually the originator of the United States of Europe. Of course, he would have been the head, and he wouldn't have been a constitutional monarch or emperor. And he did give France a Code Napoleon, which is still their source of law today. It's the French what they call civil law. And, of course, conscription, he introduced that in France. And, of course, he got ambitious, and he's the only guy I know who's crowned himself. And, of course, he ended up defeated Waterloo. And also, Napoleon was one of the great artillery geniuses in military history, in the history of warfare. It's unfortunate that he died on St. Helena, the island in the Atlantic. And, of course, if you ever get to Paris, you must go to the Hotel des Invalides, the chapel, and see his beautiful grave there and monument. It's down in the center. And the great military figures of France, of Foch, Marshal Foch, de La Trey, are all circled around the main grave, which is that of Napoleon. Sir Walter Scott's born on this day. We have a great black who was a great composer, African, who married English, Samuel Coleridge Taylor, born on this day. Also, Ethel Barrymore, the great actress, sister of Lionel and John Barrymore. And, of course, Thomas Edward Lawrence, also known as Lawrence of Arabia. And we'll get into that because there's so much that goes back to his time in history and the problems that we are having in the Middle East today. We have also Edna Ferber, who talking about America and economics. Edna Ferber wrote Giants, which became a movie, one of the few movies with Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, and James Dean. Julia Child, who was not only a chef, but she was also a spy working for OSS. A great British actress, or I kind of British, she was in Man for All Seasons. Wendy Hiller, who played the wife of Paul Scofield, who played Sir Thomas More. And also Robert Bolt, who wrote the screenplay. Great Scandinavian actress, Signe Hassel. Conservative, who was with the Republican Party. She was born in Missouri, Illinois, Phyllis Schlafly. And then we have Virgin Jordan, a political animal who was involved with civil rights. And if you remember Up, Up, and Away with the Fifth Dimension and MacArthur's Park, Jimmy Webb from Oklahoma, songwriter, born on this day, and the only daughter of Queen Elizabeth II, Princess Anne, is born on this day. And, of course, the only death was that of 1935 of Wiley Post and Will Rogers in Alaska. And among the events today, we have Macbeth. We have Ascension Paraguay, set up by the Spanish in 1535, and also Paraguay was one of the favorite countries for emigrant Germans, such as Stroessner, and also the refugees from Nuremberg, the Nazis who were fleeing justice. Also, in 1620, the Mayflower set sail from England, and of course, Cole Porter thought that instead of Plymouth, the Pilgrims landing on Plymouth Rock should have landed on them. And in 1870, the Transcontinental Railroad was finally finished, and it linked the United States from coast to coast. Canada has its own. In 1906, this is interesting about Chicago, for many years they had an underground railroad delivery system downtown. In 1914, the Panama Canal was completed, and believe this, it came in under budget. Great movie with The Wizard of Oz in 1939, and this is relevant today. In 1945, for many years, North Korea was under the boot of Japan, and very brutal. The first president was Syngman Rhee. He was forced out later, and of course, we had the Korean War. And also in 1945, wartime rationing of gasoline was ended. 1947, India got its independence, and of course we'll get into that because there's a lot of audio and we have rare interviews with the survivors of the Mahatma Gandhi family. And of course, 1969, the start of that great feeling among us hippies, Woodstock. The festival there in upstate New York, and in 1971, Nixon imposed price controls and freezes on wages, prices, and rents. We're going to end with our usual politics and poker, and we will have more come Monday, and we'll get into World War II, and Earl Mountbatten, the uncle of Queen Elizabeth II, and when he was the first Viceroy of England. Now, he's the one who decided on the independence of India, and then they broke up Jinnah, who was also, both Gandhi and Jinnah were lawyers, very good lawyers, but Jinnah was he was a Muslim, but he didn't practice. He smoked, and he drank Scotch whiskey. And I understand he was a womanizer, so he was what some Jews refer to themselves as cultural Jews. He was apparently a cultural Muslim, and he didn't impose the religion on the Pakistanis. He died of cancer, unfortunately. And so what happened was Mountbatten chose August 15th as the day for independence of India from Britain, and of course the seers said that's a day cursed by stars, because what happened was it was the greatest mass division of two groups of people, the Hindus and the Muslims in India, to the consternation of Gandhi. And the Muslims went to Pakistan, and the Hindus who were up in that area went to India. And all along the roads and the trains, there were massacres, castrations, all kinds of abuses, unheard of, and Gandhi threatened to fast to death if they didn't stop, but these fights are still going on today, And this is what happens when you mix religion with politics. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, and we'll be back Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And here is politics and poker. Maybe it's politicians were and political animals were playing poker. They should have been practicing politics and wouldn't have these they'd have these riots and civil unrest under control throughout the United States. And here we go, politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Straight your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck.
Back Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Have a safe weekend. Good night.